Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me in the cozy confines of Studio B is Nick Landry. Hey, Nick.
How you doing, Robert?
Nick refers to this as the little boys' table.
The kids' table, yeah.
The kids' table.
It's the kids' table.
So here we are at the kids' table.
We're sitting at the kids' table, yeah.
You know, last time you were on the show, you were here.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. We're actually only like 2 feet off the floor here when we're sitting, so...
Yeah.
People can't tell.
But this way, you don't tower over me, so that's why I like having you in here.
Yeah. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Robert.
And we're here to talk about the Visual Studio Android emulator.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because, you know, this is a great topic for this show. This is actually, after all, the Visual Studio Toolbox, right?
Yes, it is.
So we're going to look at an amazing tool that I think a few years ago, nobody would ever think that this tool would be available in Visual Studio. So, yeah, Microsoft has an Android emulator. And it's actually pretty awesome.
It's fast, too.
Yeah,
unlike
it's very
other
fast.
Emulators. And it's free.
Yeah.
Unlike other emulators. I mean, there are really good emulators out there, some of which cost money.
Yep.
There are really bad emulators out there, some of which are free. We won't name names.
Well, I mean, the thing is...
This one is free and fast and good.
Yeah, so to put things in context as to why did Microsoft make an emulator, or why do other companies make emulators anyways, it's because... when Google created the Android SDK, what they've pretty much decided is they wanted to have an emulator that runs everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So the barrier to entry is very low, the system requirements are very low, so which means it's an emulator that runs 100% in software. There's no hardware acceleration, there's no GPU, there's no... Well, there's some support for that was added later, but there's certainly no virtualization. And when you're creating an emulator, it's basically a virtual machine.
Yes.
Virtualization is a good thing because otherwise everything is slow. And the traditional Android emulator that Google has been shipping for years, it's slow. And what I tell developers is when they think about slow, I say think of the slowest piece of software you've ever used, then multiply that by 100, and then you might start approaching the speed of Android emulators. I call it a continental drift slow, you know? So anyway,
well,
but it's
geological
not...
time. It's really fast.
Exactly. So it's not because they're bad developers. It's just a design decision on their part. So there's a few companies that have decided to make emulators. Some, as you said, they've made them like paid emulators. They have a free tier, but you can't really get too far. The moment you're using it in the enterprise, then you have to pay for it, and it can be hundreds of dollars per year per developer to use it. Our emulator is completely free, so it's called the Visual Studio Emulator for Android.
And you can download it separately. You don't have to have Visual Studio.
Yeah, we can actually show you. I've got the webpage ready to go right here.
Yep.
So, I mean, if you just Google or Bing Visual Studio Emulator for Android, you'll find it. We'll make sure the link is in the show notes as well.
Yep.
So on the visualstudio.com page, you can basically get access to it. It's the Visual Studio Emulator for Android. It's completely free. It's not bundled with Visual. It is bundled with Visual Studio, but you can also download it completely standalone.
Yep.
So what's really cool is that if you're an Android developer, whether you're using Xamarin with C#, whether you're using Xamarin Studio or Visual Studio, you can use it. But even if you're a pure native Android developer working with Android Studio or, heaven forbid, Eclipse, you can actually use it because that emulator works directly. As part of it plugs into ADB, which is the Android Debug Bridge.
Yep.
That is a nice modular architecture in the Android toolchain to basically allow you to plug any IDE on one end and any device or emulator on the other end.
Yeah, so that's cool.
So you want to see it?
Yeah. What do we need to know about it?
Okay, so what I have right here on screen is the first of all, that's the main like management screen where you can choose the different versions of emulator, the different profiles.
So talk to me a little bit about this because there's Windows, there's iOS, right? There's the latest version of each, and it's pretty clear which one you're on. And then there's Android, and there are oodles.
Yeah,
that's
Android.
A technical term.
Android's been around for a while now, and
oodles of various SDKs and versions,
API
and
levels,
API levels, and what's the best practice for understanding and dealing with this?
So basically, what you have to understand is that first of all, each version of Android that introduced changes to the SDK, basically revs up what we call the API level.
Okay.
So a developer will not say I'm coding for KitKat or for Lollipop. They won't say I'm coding for Android 4.1 or 5.0 or 6.0. They will say I'm coding for like API 23 or API 22 or API 19 right here that you can see. So our emulator, first of all, doesn't have support for like every back version of Android. It's got basically it supports like the main ones that you can you can use. So Marshmallow, which is the latest version, API 23. So that's the latest version of Android, which is Android 6. Lollipop is basically was in the Android 5 time frame, APIs 21 and 22. KitKat was Android 4.4. And then Jelly Bean was basically the generation from Android 4.1, 4.2, 4.3 with different API levels, but API 17 is the main one here. The other thing to understand also is there is different flavors of Android.
Mm-hmm.
So Android is a modular operating system. It's also an open source operating system. So Google is the main custodian of Android. So you can go with the pure like vanilla flavor of Android, which is called AOSP, the Android Open Source Platform or Program Project. Okay. I forgot what P stands for. It's very rare you'll play with that though, because that's the default, like no flavor. You're not gonna have any of the Google services in there. So no Google Play, no notifications, no messaging, no Gmail, not Bing Maps, so certainly not. But we ship it on Android. No Google Maps.
Yeah.
No Google Plus. So none of the Google services are gonna be there in that version. That's the free version. Okay. So for example, this is the version that Amazon forked at 4.2 to create the Kindle Fire operating system, which is based on Android. Now, that's why Android is not truly free, because AOSP is free, but all the phones that ship out there use another flavor of Android, which is the Google flavor, that basically has all this layer of Google services on top that do all the things I told you about, including, for example, advertising and in-app purchasing, and the Google Play Store being the main one. Our emulator, because of licensing restrictions with Google, can only support AOSP.
So that means,
and for that matter, virtually all emulators that are not made by Google only support AOSP, because there's a licensing reason in there where nobody's allowed to basically ship Google's flavor of Android. That's theirs, basically. Just like we don't allow people to ship Windows willy-nilly either.
Right.
So that said, you can still do a ton with this emulator. It just means that if you want to start testing things that do require Google Play services, like Google Maps, location services, location services will work, but showing them on a Google map will not.
At that point, you should just get yourself a phone.
Yeah, you get a device, basically.
Get a device.
You test it.
You can get phones fairly cheaply. You don't need a plan. Right, doesn't have to become your phone.
Exactly.
Just buy a device and test on that.
Yeah, I bought like a Moto G. It's like $70. It was cheaper now. Even some of the high-end phones, you can still get good deals on them.
Yeah. So anyway. Get somebody's hand-me-down. Find somebody who's a Google fanboy or girl and get their old phone when they get their new one.
All right, so let's take a quick tour of the emulator here.
Okay.
Then after that, we can maybe look at the debugging experience from Visual Studio. So this is our wonderful emulator here. Once you basically just create a profile first, so you click on it and you click download, and it's going to install that profile for you. So it shows you here the different profiles that are available. So for example, this one here is the equivalent of, it's basically a 4.5-inch KitKat, which is 4.4 API level 19 HDPI phone, so high DPI phone. And this is the amount of memory it occupies. Most of them will actually be either a 512 phone or a gig of RAM phone. If you don't have a lot of RAM on your computer, so this is a Surface Pro 3. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's got 8 gigs. But even then, I try to limit my emulators to 512 megs.
Yeah, I've had issues before where I'll be in Visual Studio and I'll be working on a project that I want to run on Android, run it. The emulator will tell me it doesn't have enough memory.
Right.
Shut down Visual Studio, start the emulator.
And then restart
Visual Studio. And then since the emulator's already running.
It works.
Yeah, it works. Yeah. So that's a little tip and trick if you run into that.
And this emulator is the same.
Or shut down other things like Outlook and potentially, other software you have running.
Exactly. So turn off Steam,
In
the background.
Get a Surface Pro 4 with 16 gigs of RAM and never again have this problem.
Or a Surface Book.
Or that too.
Or a Surface Book. And so that emulator works the same way. You might run into the same issues, so you can do that. Start it first, then launch Visual Studio. That's what I like to do. There's another thing also, like people watching this emulator right now might feel like, hey, this looks familiar, right? It looks familiar because this is actually the reason why we made this emulator is we thought about it and we're like, you know what? We already have a great emulator at Microsoft. It's the Windows Phone
emulator.
And the Windows 10 mobile emulator, which is based on Hyper-V. So this is actually based on Hyper-V. So for that reason, this is Windows only.
Yeah.
So there, of course, a lot of Android developers do their development on OS X. I know that our product team is, they started taking names of developers that are interested. They are investigating the possibility of making a Mac version. I don't know what virtualization they would use then, but they're investigating it. Anyway, so this is based on the same virtualization technology, Hyper-V, as the Windows Phone emulator. And you can even have them run side by side.
Yep.
So I can have the Windows Phone emulator and this one running. So for Xamarin projects where you're doing cross-platform, it's awesome.
Yep.
And or Cordova.
Or Cordova, of course, yeah, definitely. So right here, it's very snappy. It's hardware accelerated. So you can, as you see, it's AOSP here. So you can basically install your own APKs. You can deploy to them. But the cool stuff is once you start opening this little box here, and let's see where it's going to show up. This is where you get the magic toolbox of the Android emulator. First of all, like if you want to test accelerometers in your app, if your app supports like accelerometer movement, orientation changes and everything. So if you want to change orientation, you could say, hey, just put the right now in landscape mode, and it's going to switch it. And you notice my emulator just rotated here the image, but I can actually rotate the physical, like not the physical one, but the window here.
Yep.
So let me rotate it back like this. So I can put it in portrait mode, but I can also play with the accelerometer like this by moving this little dot right here. So that's a feature we've had on the Windows Phone emulator, and it was brought right over to the Android emulator. You can force it to reset to its position. You actually see at the bottom the XYZ values of the accelerometer, so you can even test to see if your application is receiving the right values. So that alone is a feature that everybody just loves, because otherwise, normally, you would have to use a physical device. The next one is the location.
Yep.
So here we have a nice Bing map already defaulted on Seattle, like all Microsoft maps are. And basically, right here, what we can do is we can start like putting points on the map. So I can, for example, here, I can jump to, let's go to Florida, for example. I can jump in Tampa right here. And then if I open, for example, let's say I'm going to open a browser. And because this is Android, we're going to do the thing we're not supposed to do. And we're going to go to Google Maps. Normally, of course, they would use maybe the map application that comes with it, which is the Google Maps application. But we're going to stay in the Android world. So you can see it right now. If I come and I tap onto something and I center there, it just jumps to that new location right here. I'm not sure exactly how to zoom out of this. This is Google Maps, so it's not very intuitive, you know. So I don't know if it supports the touch on it. Actually, yeah, it does support touch. Yeah, because the emulator, if you use it on the touch screen, something you can't do on a Mac.
you can
actually zoom out like this, and you can do multi-touch on it. So for example, if I jump right now to Jacksonville and recenter.
How hard do you think it would be to make software, an extension that simulates pinching and zooming? Do they have those? I know you can get external pad.
It's already built in. It's already built in. Yeah, multi-touch input right here.
Right, but on a device that doesn't support touch, right?
Yeah, it's using that multi-touch input. When you click on that right here, it gives you two fingers, and then you can simulate the input. There you go.
Another brilliant idea that's already been done.
Well, of course, because we have good developers.
Never going to get rich at this rate.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah,
that's cool.
It's free. See, you can actually test multi-touch.
And so, that would help you if you're on a computer that doesn't have a touch monitor.
Yeah, if you're on the Windows machine with no touch, or if you're running Bootcamp on your Mac, which you definitely should, because Macs run way better when they're running Windows, you can do this. So the next thing we can do, so I'm going to delete those points here.
Wait, try that again, because I want to make sure that I had that on the screen.
That you had it? All right, there you go. All right, see, there you go, touch, multi-touch.
Just to let everybody know, a little behind the scenes, when I press Enter, we swap between us and the screen, and occasionally I forget to do that.
I never know which one is left, right, so you know best. You're the
pro. There's now a big, I'll point to it. There's now a big sign that says recording is here. So
okay.
Recording is on
here.
The right.
You are here, just like on the map.
Yes.
You are here now.
That's a little behind the scenes here at the
at
the kiddie table.
So you can do multi-touch here. And so that's a great feature. You can rotate things around. Now, the other cool thing you can do is that you can say, you know what? I want to do, I'm going to start deleting some points. So I want to clear all these points here. So all right, let me see. If I'm in point adding mode. There we go. I'm going to clear all the points. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to Seattle. So you can just enter, like, oh, let's go to Redmond, actually. Let's go to the Microsoft campus. There you go. We are on campus right
now. Yes, we are.
Okay. So now let's say that you're adding some points and you are driving from here. Mm-hmm. And then you want to go into route mode. So that we're going to go from here. And we're gonna drive all the way to the other side of the campus.
Really?
Actually,
why
that's not a good
walk.
That's not a good route. So
it's quicker to walk.
Let's just go to here like this. Right. Okay, so we have a little route that's been created for us, and now I can actually say, hey, I want you to drive this route either at the speed limit, walking speed, biking speed, or fast.
Okay.
So when you're debugging an application that uses location services, you've got two options. You can either take your phone with you, strap it to your laptop, put it in your car, start driving around while you're debugging your code. Not recommended, by the way. You should never do that, okay?
Never debug and drive.
It's not safe at all. Right. You can run with your laptop and hopefully not drop it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can download a Visual Studio emulator for Android. You can do the same thing with the Windows version as well. And then here, you can then hit the playback. And then you notice that at speed limit speed, we're moving here. And if I hit refresh on a Google map here, you'll notice that the map is being refreshed because it's
cool.
Actually receiving the GPS signal, basically the location mm-hmm. services update. So now with your app, you can truly test this. You can test geofencing, for example, mm-hmm. with this. It could be great for run trackers or any kind of field service app that has location in there. It's an amazing tool for developers to actually debug their code. So of course, now I'm using the Google Map on this, but if this was in your code and you tap into location services, right. you're going to get the updates on your phone. So how cool is this?
That is excellent.
It's really cool.
That is very cool.
All right, next feature. Let's test. Now let's get out of this. You want to test the battery level. How does your app behave if it's about to die, or if you want to check, for example, for a long process before, and you want to check the battery level first?
Yep.
I don't know if you'll be able to see on screen. See the little battery at 50% right now?
Yeah.
If I move the slider, the battery is getting depleted, the battery is full. I wish my phone could charge
really.
That fast. That'd be cool.
Yeah, really.
Right, exactly, right there. And of course, if you have like an older iPhone, this is pretty much like the speed at which it would be discharging. Actually, more like Android, running like tons of stuff in the background. This is like real-time drainage,
mm-hmm.
real-time drainage of batteries. So you can also say if the battery is charging or not. So to detect if it gets plugged or something like this, you can say it's charging, the little Thunderbolt is gone, you click charging,
mm-hmm.
it's there.
Cool.
So you can change the battery state. Next step is, of course, taking screenshots.
Yes.
It's great if you're building documentation, if you want to prepare your screens to put in the store. So you just come here, you click capture. It's going to capture at the native resolution.
Yeah.
So even if, because right now the emulator has magnification levels, so you can put it at 33%. So if you're running like a super high DPI device, you might not be able to fit it all on screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually going to give you the image at the native resolution of the device, not the magnification level
cool.
of the device. So you get actual screenshots at the proper quality.
And
that's
a lot easier than having to clip or take the whole screen and then crop.
No clipping, cropping, anything. You just go to something, capture, and you see it's two different windows here on screen.
Yeah.
So it's great. Now, another really cool feature, camera.
Mm.
So for example, if I launch the default camera app in here, What I'm gonna get is this kind of like weird
right.
animation
yes.
here. This is the one where it's just to show you something moving. So at least you can capture an image in motion. One of the things that you can do with this is actually say, you know what? Now I want to switch to a file instead. I'm gonna go and browse. And I'm gonna pick this beautiful image right here. And now this will become the input for my, let me see, front camera or back? Oh, sorry, I'm on the wrong camera right now. So let's switch the camera over now. There you go. Because I was on there's two cameras, the front camera
okay.
and the back camera. So this is the file right here. Or I can say go back to the animation or show me a file. So if, for example, you're building some kind of an application where you'll be taking a photo of something,
mm-hmm.
and if you're looking for a very specific photo, so maybe you'll do some image processing on it or something, you can feed whatever image is on your drive. That becomes a camera image, and then you can capture it
mm-hmm.
and then use it inside of your app.
Hmm.
But what if you want to use a real camera?
Yeah.
What if you can say, I want to use a webcam, and I want to use the front camera of my LifeCam right here.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey. And you guys can actually see that. Oh, we're showing behind the scenes here something you're not supposed to see, the ceiling of the Channel 9 studio.
Why? What's wrong with that?
I'm sure this is the first time this has ever been seen. So here we are. Hey.
There's dollar bills taped.
There you go. There's Roberts right here. There you go. So now, that means you can directly tap into a camera. It can be the front camera, the back camera, a USB camera you have connected. This is super powerful.
That's cool.
So for anybody's building a camera-based application, they can do this.
And can you actually, how do you take the picture?
Well, of course, so for example, if I go back to the web, let me go back to this. Let me relaunch the camera. Well, this is the camera app.
Okay.
So this is just like, I think this is the picture button here. So I'll say webcam, live cam front, and then I say snap.
Okay,
so it just took a picture.
Okay, right.
I can click on it,
good.
And there I am, kind of sideways.
So you can actually then test what an app does after you take the picture.
Yep, exactly.
A real picture.
So when you take the picture, it'll take a picture of either of the animation of your fixed screen image you had, or of the webcam.
Right.
And of course, if your app is launching the camera dialog, you know, or to invoke basically the picture. API, then from there you can debug it properly.
Cool.
SD card support, very important. Because of course devices can actually have like more storage. They can actually have SD cards sometimes, even though Google is kind of moving away from that now. But still, you can then simply specify which folder on your machine is going to become an SD card. Mm-hmm. And then provided you have either API access to go check the folders, or if you have a file manager app already installed, there's none on this one, you can then go and inspect like the drive, and that becomes kind of like any folder on your machine becomes the root of an SD card on your emulator.
So when you say, what do you need to have installed in order to make that work?
No, it's just that, let's say that a device normally would have an SD card in there.
Right.
That becomes a separate kind of drive, a separate root. Mm-hmm. So now you just click browse, you go pick, you know, a folder on your machine, and that folder, the content of that folder then becomes a source to become an SD card in the emulator.
Right.
So that becomes your storage.
Right.
And then you can push content to the SD card, you can pull content from it. So it's a great way to simulate an SD card on an emulator.
Okay, but then you had said if you had some file manager.
Oh, it's just that, let's say that I want to go manually go see that card right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Android, as far as I know, AOSP doesn't ship with a file manager app to go browse the API folder. If it does, I'm sorry, I apologize.
Okay.
But because usually I have some Android devices and I have a file manager app that I've already bought or something, and then that's the one that I install on my machine that lets me browse the file structure.
And you can install that into the emulator?
Well, it depends. If you have the APK, yes. In fact, that's going to be, after one tab, it's going to be my next demo, so great segue.
All right, cool.
So right here, the next one, also very important, is network.
Mm-hmm.
There's a network simulator here, directly in emulator, so that, of course, when you're on, my machine is on Wi-Fi, if you test the network connectivity of your application using Wi-Fi, then yeah, it's always going to work great.
Mm-hmm.
But testing like low signal conditions, so if I want to say, I want to test, let's say I'm doing this like serialization with the cloud or synchronization of data, and I want to see how does that work on, for example, a simple 3G connection with a very poor signal. So now that's going to give me 500 kilobits per second of bandwidth with 3% packet loss. So this will actually simulate packet loss so you can see how your application would behave in something like this. Or you can say, I want to test even on the 2G network, which is now like horrible here.
Right.
You know? Or you can say, I want to test on a good network, on a 4G connection. So this would be like 12 download, 5 upload. Mm-hmm. With only 2% packet loss.
Okay.
So that's a great way of testing the performance of your application, again, without having to hook up like any extensions or writing code to simulate it. You just have to write your code to make sure that it behaves well in these conditions, and you should test it for sure.
Yeah.
And you can even see right here, see at the top of the screen right here where my mouse is, you can see 4G.
Yeah.
If I switch to 3G, you can see the signal at 3G. If I switch to an average signal, you lose bars on it, it's great. It's a really good representation of how things are going to be. Now, let's say you have an APK that maybe you're doing testing for somebody
else.
APK is the Android package, basically. That's the bundle. Just like we have like Apex for UWP, or we had Zap, for example, for the Windows Phone apps.
Yep.
An APK is the Android package. It contains the entire app in one file.
Good.
And so let's say you have an APK, and now you want to test a certain APK. So I have this little demo here, which is it's a game.
Okay.
And the game is actually written in Unity. And I can just drag, and I can drop it directly on the emulator. There we go. It had to happen directly live in here. I just tested this before. I actually had the APK running. No, I deliberately uninstalled it. So let's try it again to see if it's going to take it this time. Unable to ADB connecting to Android device. Oh, because I think, because I have maybe an Visual Studio running, it's currently connected to it, I presume.
Okay.
Earlier when I did it, Android Visual Studio was not running, so we'll start. If not, I'll just stop it and start it again, and we'll see if it works. So does it work? No. All right, let's just stop the emulator. We'll start it again. You'll get to see the startup time here actually on this, so I'm gonna start it. It actually launches pretty fast. Like, this is a Surface Pro 3. Yep. It's an i7 device with 8 gigs of RAM.
Yep.
Typically 20-ish seconds, the operating system is loaded, which is also much faster than the traditional emulators. Yeah. Now, in all fairness to Google, Google is supposed to have some new emulators that are in preview now. They're supposed to be very fast.
Okay.
I have not had a chance to test them. I don't know what feature set they have. But this emulator is definitely great. Also, there are ways with a Google emulator where you can use like Hacksem, which is Intel virtualization, that basically lets you use virtualization with it. I was personally never able to actually enable this. Some people have done it on my machines. Every time I've tried it on this or on my Mac, it would freeze or blue screen or something like that. So, all right, let's try this again.
That wasn't that bad.
Oh, let me go find my APK. It was under my events, under mobility, Android, demo APKs. Hopefully, third time's the charm. There we go. Installing demo 3D APK. Okay, and then it says installed successfully. So now, just by dragging and dropping, now I can click here. I can see Angry Bots in here. And then, let me even crank up the sound. I don't know if we're going to be able to hear, but I want to rotate the display because this is actually a game that's a dual stick shooter. So the emulator actually uses GPU acceleration.
Wow.
So I can now, I'm going to play on screen right here. See, I can actually move around and I can shoot at stuff around me like this. I mean, how cool is this for a game developer to be able to move around and then test with an actual 3D accelerated engine. Where are the robots? There's a robot. Hey, I killed it. And because the emulator supports touch, in a case of a dual stick shooter like this, I can actually play it properly. I mean, how cool is this? We've shown this to developers at DroidCon last August, and when they saw this, first of all, the ability to just drag and drop an APK, drop it directly in emulator, run it, and then to have GPU accelerated graphics directly in emulator, they were blown away.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely awesome. All right, so let's get out of there. Now, and then the last step I should show, of course, is how do you deploy to this? So if I'm going to relaunch Visual Studio here. I'm running Visual Studio Community, which I hope your viewers know that is completely free.
And supports extensions.
And supports extensions. It supports everything. It's the. It's easy to understand.
Literally everything. It's there are a couple features in Pro and Enterprise that aren't in there.
In Enterprise, yeah, but it's like Pro basically.
Yeah.
Pro but with a different license. So.
I think there might be one or two features that aren't.
I would have to know what they are because I have no idea. All right, so I'm gonna load this little project here. It's a little simple weather project. It's like a Hello World that calls a REST service. And it basically...
Because the world needs more weather apps.
Oh, of course. No, but this one is going to be fun.
You know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold a contest.
Who can build the best weather app?
No. Not the best.
The worst?
The most fun.
The most fun. Okay.
I mean, best. What does it mean to be best?
Right, that's true. Fun, fun is good.
The Windows 10 weather app is good. The Weather Channel weather app is good. They're all good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good ones out there. There's a lot of demo apps that aren't that good. But even the demo app ones are good. They tell you what the weather is. How hard is that?
Exactly.
Right? A good weather app will tell you how cold it is right now and is it going to rain. We should hold a contest for who can build the most fun weather app.
So on Windows 10, because of course we have great speech support, I'm actually working on a weather app, which is like the equivalent of this one. with speech integrated mm-hmm. in the weather app itself, so it can give you an actual weather report. So the idea is to basically package Al Roker.
You think that's going to win my contest?
Inside of the app, you know?
That's cool, but how fun is that?
Well, it depends on what it says. We'll see. I might take you up on that challenge. All right, let's go back to our... So this is a Xamarin demo here running in the Visual Studio. Mm-hmm. So I've got my weather.android right here. In my main activity right here, I have a little breakpoint so I can show debugging, for example.
Yep.
And you can see here, so my weather.android is the startup project. And then right here, see VS Emulator 4.5 KitKat 4.4. So that is the emulator that is already running. Yep. If it was not running, it would launch it.
Yep.
So of course you can click on here.
While we're talking about Xamarin, let me digress and give the folks at home a little tip and trick. If you're building a Xamarin application, never ever name, like if you're building MyWeather, never ever name it MyWeather.android.
Yeah, I know.
Because then when you call things that are in the Android API, the compiler gets confused. So you call it MyWeatherAndroid or MyWeather.droid. Never call it MyWeather.android.
Yeah, I had that issue with the Windows Phone 8 version, but that part mm-hmm. of the demo was kind of retired. So I've got MyWeatherAndroid, MyWeatheriOS, and MyWeatherWin10.
Yes.
Right here. So good tip.
I ran into that, sad to say, more than once.
It's, we learned so much on this show.
Yeah.
And then, so right here, MyWeatherAndroid. So what I'm going to do is just going to run this. It's going to run it on the emulator right here. So it's deploying it. It's if stuff is missing, like in this case, the Mono framework, everything gets deployed, mm-hmm. runs directly on it. It's quite fast.
Yes.
It runs very fast. It was not deployed. See, I had relaunched the emulator here. And of course, this is a simple one. Like I can say, show me my weather. So for example, back home, I heard they got some snow. They lost power actually today, so I hope my wife got power back. So I click get weather, call
or
it,
that at least that
and
it,
then oh,
it comes
there you go.
Back before you arrived.
I hit the breakpoint right
cool.
here, so I can come and inspect my weather route, and then I can come and expand it, and I can mm-hmm. see my weather in Princeton, and then if I come and open up the main section here, I can see the weather. The temperature is 30 in Celsius actually, but there's a way to get it out in. Actually, no, this is not Celsius.
Fahrenheit.
This is Fahrenheit. That's why mm-hmm. they got snow.
30 Celsius, better not be snowing.
I'm Canadian, you know, so it's like 30 in Celsius would be quite warm. The snow would be all melted, so I can continue, and then boom, there you go. I got my code running. So
cool.
It's a, run-of-the-mill emulator, but it's fast. You can do live debugging the same way you can on the editor platform. And we're not going to show it here because this is a Visual Studio Toolbox, so we're not going to crank open Android Studio. But anyway, it works with Android Studio.
Go for it.
We can try it.
So, because I was about to ask. So, obviously, in Visual Studio, you run, Visual Studio deploys the app to the emulator.
Yeah.
What if you are just using our emulator? Because we want people to do this. We want people to
so
download the emulator and use it from non-Visual Studio UI.
Okay, so I got Android Studio here. Mm-hmm. Don't be shocked. It's not like the prettiest experience ever. Let's just say we have it good in the Visual Studio world. You can always do a spin-off called Android Toolbox if you want, but I wouldn't.
I ain't doing that.
Okay, so this is loading. There's always a bunch of errors that show up in Android Studio, and then you still run it, and you hope it's going to run. So, in all fairness, I have not run this in a while, so this is not the latest version. This is 1.3.1, and I think they're way higher now. So what I have here is in Azure, in mobile services, we have this little to-do list app mm-hmm. that can support Android. This is basically what I'm running here. I disabled the authentication, but it's expecting authentication. So it's not going to show any data, but the key is we want to see this running, right? So now I can come here. And this doesn't support high DPI displays very well, which is why the menus are kind of truncated like this. I'm going to click run. Oh, sync failed. So now... Yeah, every time you have to do this, basically run, rebuild the project. It uses Gradle for build, which I'm still trying to grasp, exactly what Gradle does. It's got two processes running right now, so we have to wait for this to be over. There's a way we can open the console here. So, for example, if I open this right here, and there's an event log right here. Gradle sync complete. Still processes are running right now, so. Let's look at Gradle console. Okay. So two processes are running, and There are reasons why I didn't want to show this right here. But it's okay. It's going to make our viewers appreciate Visual Studio even more.
The point of doing this is not to make fun of Android Studio. The point here is to show
experiences. We're showing facts. There you go.
What is the experience
build
if you're on a different...
So ID. Now, I'm going to click run, and then I should get a pop-up window that's going to ask me, where do you want to run it?
Okay.
You know? And this is the way it works, is it basically passes off, opens a session, debugging session with ADB, the Android Debug Bridge, and then it should be asking me, where do you want to debug this? I had another window that let me select like a drop-down to do this, but I can never know how to get back to it. I confess that I'm not an expert at Android Studio. When I do Android development, I definitely prefer using Xamarin and Visual Studio so I can do everything in C#.
Right.
So executing task. The Gradle build is running right now. Once package debug, so there you go. There you go. So there choose a device. Okay. So now I can say...
Oh, so it found the emulator.
Yeah.
Did you have to do anything to hook that up, or is that automatic?
It's automatic, because the emulator automatically registers with Android Debug Bridge. So, for example, you can open the ADB console and then type ADB devices, and it's going to show up in the devices. So you can see right here the emulator is there. I can also launch a specific emulator if I want, or I can connect to a device, which would be here. So now I just click OK. Let's load the emulator here, and then it's going to load my little... to-do list application that doesn't have any data into it.
And there you go. That is so cool.
The application is running live. So I think this is probably the first time we're showing Android Studio in a Visual Studio Toolbox show, right?
That is absolutely the first time that we
showed
Android.
Probably the last.
Android.
We never
Not necessarily.
Because
remember, the reason we did this was to demonstrate one of the points about the Visual Studio emulator for Android, which is that it works with IDEs other than Visual Studio. So we have just proven with a minimal of negative comments. The minimal negative comments and nothing but the highest regard for other people's software, that it works quite well with other IDEs. So it's not, yes, it's called Visual Studio emulator for Android, but it doesn't require Visual Studio. This
exactly.
is a key point, and I wanted to demonstrate
it. It should
that.
Probably be called the Microsoft emulator for Android. That would probably be a better name for it, given that Visual Studio was optional. So, but in any case, that's basically kudos to Google on the way that the Android SDK is built, because the fact that it's entirely modular with the Android Debug Bridge, where you can plug in any IDE at one end, any device or emulator at the other, is great. We follow those rules, and that's why our emulator participates in the tool chain very easily.
You can use it from Xamarin Studio. You can use it from
so VS, Xamarin Studio, Eclipse, IntelliJ, and Android Studio, which is based on IntelliJ.
Yeah. And if worse comes to worse, you just make the APK and drag and drop it to install it, right?
Exactly.
Although obviously there you lose the debugging.
But. Right.
Yeah.
So that's... yeah, that's basically the tour of the Visual Studio emulator for Android. It's great. It's free. You should definitely go try it out. It runs on Windows. Some people ask, like, what do we do for Mac? Well, actually, Xamarin has a nice little Xamarin player that is based on Oracle VirtualBox that runs on Mac. So my rule of thumb is, on Windows, I use the Visual Studio emulator for Android.
Yeah, there's many of them out there. There's several of them out there. And
and on Mac...
We think this is one that you should look at. And
like. This one may come to Mac. We don't know.
Who knows?
Apparently, we're exploring that. We'll see. So
if it does, then we'll do a follow-up episode where we won't have any Windows machines in here. We'll just do stuff on the Mac.
Right. Cool. Yeah, we can try that.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Hope you enjoy this, and we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.